They knew what God wanted of us when it comes to performance of mitzvot. So then why is it that they used the laws of derivation to find the pasuk? Half the Gemara is being spent figuring out where they get this law from. They know the law, it's in the Mishnah, now where, let's trace it back. Why is that so important? And in general, why were we given the laws of derivation? So we're going to have to introduce a lot of things, and after all the introductions deal with this question. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So Moshe goes up to Sinai and God teaches him all of the Torah.
He teaches him all the Torah.
Kol ma she'atid talmid vatik lechadesh. Everything that, even what an ancient student would still figure out years later, Moshe was taught. He's taught it all at Sinai. Well, if God's your teacher, so you could learn a lot in 40 days. And technically, Moshe knew what was supposed to, how we were supposed to perform the Torah. That was given to him. God told him, I'm going to give you the written Torah and the oral Torah. The written Torah must be learned and taught from the writing. The oral Torah may never be written down. And God said, I know a time will come that nations will say, we're the chosen ones. We have a Torah too. Look, we have an Old Testament. We know what God said. And we're going to perform the way we see fit. And so God said, do not write down the oral law. It is the oral law that is the covenant between me and you. That pact that no nation can claim they know how to do. We had tonight a young man who's a professor who was sitting here and was arguing that cannot be that vessels absorb flavor. I didn't want to argue with him too strongly because he's just starting out, but we have on tradition that they do. So he's learning in science and he's trying to figure it out, and he's saying, well, scientifically I don't understand that. Okay. Truth isn't limited to science's understanding. Science keeps learning more and more and more, and discovering more. When you're starting with a lack of knowledge and you have to discover what the truth is, so you're always advancing and trying to discover more. When you're starting with God telling you this is what it is, so you start with the truth. It's a completely different way of working it. You with me? So the Torah tells us vessels absorb flavor. He doesn't understand it. I can't help him. I'm sorry. I don't know the science behind it. But we're starting off with a knowledge, the written law, the oral law. And the oral law was not supposed to be written down. The idea of the oral law not being written down, this is between us. And no nation can claim they have that. Along with that, God gave Moshe 13 laws of derivation. Laws of inference, laws of logic. And God said to Moshe, now here's how you apply them. Take a new case that will come before you. Geneticists will put together a new animal. Sheep that tastes like a pig. Is it kosher or isn't it kosher? Can you eat it or not? Now, use your laws of derivation and figure it out. So we picked an example out of the hat. Moshe tries applying the laws of derivation, and he figures out 49 ways to prove that it's permitted, 49 ways to prove it's prohibited. He turns to God and says, what's right? God tells him, that's where I want the rabbis to decide. The rabbis, after purifying their thoughts and applying pure logic, they will apply the laws of derivation, explain to one another why they think this is more logical than that, and at the end of the day, the human factor is such that what seems most logical to me is going to be different than what seems most logical to you. And then we go, achi rabim natot, we go by the majority opinion. That's how I want you to come to a conclusion. Till here, we've discussed in the past. This shouldn't be new stuff to those of you who have been around. This we've discussed. Step two. We know there's Torah that's written in the Torah. It says, don't kill. Okay. That's blatant, right? Clear. And then we know there's Torah that's derived from the Torah. We just discussed the laws of derivation. And then there's Torah that's on tradition. That the straps of the tefillin have to be black is on tradition. Doesn't say it anywhere. that the knotting, that the string, the sinews that we use to close the tefillin have to be sewn in a square tradition. Halacha Moshem Sinai. It doesn't say it anywhere. So at first glance, we would say there's the written law, there's the derived law, and then there's the traditional law. Right? Moshe teaches the Jewish people for 40 years. And Moshe passes away, and they spend a month lamenting Moshe's death. At the end of that period, they've forgotten 3,000 halachos. They look in the Torah, it's not there. They ask one another, they try to review. After all of their attempts, they're left with 3,000 halachot that they don't know the answer to, that they had on tradition, that they hadn't derived from the Torah, that were not written in the Torah, that they thought could not be derived from the Torah. And so Joshua is stumped. He's the new leader. He turns to God and says, "Help me out. What do I do with these 3,000 laws?" And God tells him, Lova Shamaimi, our parsha we discussed it yesterday. God says, no longer in heaven. Moshe Avdimet, Moshe, my servant, died. It's only Moshe who got the Torah from heaven. That's it, it's over. I don't interfere. But what's the next sentence? Lech v'tordan b'milchamta shel Torah. Now go fight the wars of Torah and figure it out. But these were things that they had on tradition. Moshe didn't derive them from the Torah. Moshe told them, this is what God told me. This is how God wants these halachos to be. From here, we derive a principle that's expanded on by the Netziv in his introduction to the Sheiltos, to his commentary on the Sheiltos, that the Torah has within it the capacity for derivation, even of the things, even the laws that originally were given as a tradition. You with me? And that's a phenomenal concept. That means that on the surface, you can't attain it. You go deeper, you can't attain it. But if you use pilpulta shel Torah, which is the capacity to analyze and go into the depths and say, wait a second, well, what's the logic behind this and what's the logic behind that? And if I put this opposite that, and I start working, going levels deeper and deeper into the logic of the Torah, logic, not my thoughts, what the Torah is telling me, working logically, deduction, deduction, no? I'm going to deduce. I'm going to see what the Torah is telling me. So then, that's what's called pilpul. Real pilpul is when I work to see, okay, what's the logic here? And how do I, if I use this logic as opposed to that logic, working step after step, comparing laws of the Torah, I can even derive 3,000 laws that were originally not derived from the Torah. They were given on tradition. There are about 50 pages in the Netziv on this concept. We're just touching it on the surface. But
So far the basic reason you can say is that since the laws that were given explicitly on tradition were forgotten, now the sages have to go back.
I didn't say that yet. Wait, I didn't get to your question yet.
Hold on, where is this?
If you look in the Siddur before Baruch Shamar, so we say every morning, Rabbi Ishmael Omer, B'shloshesrei midot haTorah nidreshet behin. The source for that price is the beginning of the Sifra de Beirav, Toras Kohanim an Vayikra. In the beginning of the Toras Kohanim an Vayikra, that's where the Brisa with the 13 laws of derivation appears. But we have it in our Siddurim.
Is 13 a special number because the Ramban?
No. 13 laws of derivation.
No, but
I'm saying,
I mean, there's other things of derivation.
Simply understood, that's just the number it came up with. Not as a symbolic number, no. So we're staying simple here. Now, what's the Gemara doing? So, a few things. Firstly, not all the halachot were remembered on tradition. And sometimes the source, where you derive it from, will define for you the weight you give it. Meaning the Gemara isn't just saying, well, I know that the halacha is, I have to read Shema at night. Now, what's the source for it? Maybe the obligation to read Shema at night is rabbinic. Maybe it's biblical. Let's see what source we find. Machloket in the Gemara, whether it's biblical or rabbinic. Machloket how we paskin. And so on and so forth. The Gemara isn't just doing an exercise. Well, let's see where we can find this. The Gemara was also defining in that exercise the weights and by knowing the sources, sometimes the details of the laws of the halachot. So, let's review what we discussed. We said, Moshe received the Torah, written law, oral law. Oral law is our gift, discerns us from the nations who could copy the written law. In the oral law, we have what was given to Moshe, what was derived from the Torah using the 13 principles. The things that were given on tradition could also be derived using Pilpulta Shel Torah, which is what happened when Yeshua passed away. And then we said what the Gemara is doing, when Moshe passed away, thank you. And what the Gemara is doing is taking the laws that they had on tradition and saying, what's the source? When I can better know the source, I could better also understand the details and also a better understanding of the law itself. And sometimes a most basic understanding, as with the example of the first law in the Mishnah, Me'matai Kohen et Shema Be'avin, from when do you read Shema at night? I need to know if that's biblical or rabbinic. Well, I have to work with the sources.
So far... The oral law.
By the way, reading Shema at night, according to everyone, is biblical. I confused that with saying Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, not Shema. It's not Shema, everyone agrees, is biblical. It's the third parsha of Shema, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yeah?
So far, the oral law, as defined, is anything that Hashem explicitly told Moshe or anything we can derive.
Yeah. Now, if you want a better picture, the Rambam, in the end of his introduction to Mishnah, has an enumeration of what the oral law encompasses.
Oh.
And on TorahForMe.org, you could listen to the classes. We did
right.
it.
Right. I want to ask kind of a sub-question, like, while we're at this level of the argument. Like, at the beginning of the Hakdamah of Mishnah, of the Rambam, he says he's laying out how Hashem first told Moshe the law, and then he told him the pirush to the law, right? So would the law itself, is that like an earlier form of the written law? Because now when we say the written Torah, we're referring to the Torah like as we know it now.
But after.
Yeah, exactly. The Torah as we know it now was written after the Hashem gave Moses the laws and their interpretations. But wasn't there a period when the Jews were walking around like with this list of laws, and that was like the written Torah for a while? Or
I don't think so.
They're independent. And the fact that I guess it's that earlier form, like where, because before Hashem had the narrative form of the Torah, he had just the laws and the Perush. So, considering we don't have just some straightforward list of all the laws like you originally had it, does that mean it's kind of obsolete at this point, and Hashem just kind of incorporated all that into the modern, I mean, not modern, but like the regular form of the Torah that
Let's
we have now.
Organize things. Okay? Torah, then creation. Torah precedes creation. The only question is, when was the Torah given to us? Were we given from Bereshis till Yisroel at Sinai? And then Parsha, Parsha Nitna? And then every time God gives another Parsha in Torah with its laws, or was it all given at once, however that works?
So you mean
technically, that's a discussion in the Gemara.
But it's just confusing at the beginning of the Hakdamah of Mishnah, because he says first Hashem told Moses the law, and then he told him.
This is talking about the written Torah. This is not what was written down. It's not the oral point.
Right. Okay. So it was nothing ever written down before the Torah in its current form.
Preceded the writing of the written law.
There was nothing written down before the current form of the Torah.
That's a little bit of a complex question. And it a little bit depends on different Rishonim's opinions on what happened in Mara, because there was a camping ground where we camped before we reached Sinai called Mara, and at that campground it says Sham Sam Lo Chok U'Mishpat V'Sham Nisal, and there's a discussion exactly what was the Chok and Mishpat that was in Mara, but I don't think it should have any relevance to us what exactly happened there. It was a short period of time before we got the Torah. I mean, you're talking about 49 days after leaving Egypt we got the Torah, so was there a period where they set up some kind of legal system to ensure that they weren't a group of bandits? I don't know if that's so important to us.
Okay, so in any event, it doesn't really matter because Hashem incorporated everything you need to know inside as we see it now anyway.
We have Midrashei Halacha, where the Midrash takes a pasuk and starts saying word by word, what halachot do we derive from that? When these Midrash Halacha are described in the Talmud, they're described as the rabbi was standing and teaching Torah like Moshe at Sinai. From here we get a picture. What was Moshe doing at Sinai? Taking words in the Torah and starting to explain. Now these are the halachot we learn from these words. These are the halachot we learn from those words. That seems to be the way he was teaching then. Not the way we have it Mishnah based, but Chumash based. So the laws were revolving around the Chumash.
But then ultimately that method is like being retroactive because we already knew, or at least for some of the mitzvot, because for some of the mitzvot we had them on tradition anyway. So that when it's saying these are the mitzvot you can get from this pasuk, that if we had remembered a lot of those mitzvot, we wouldn't have had to derive them from pasuk because we have
not exactly no, because one doesn't contradict the other. You could have on tradition how you derive from the pasuk. When Moshe was given it, it wasn't given in the abstract, it was given connected to the Torah. It's not that Moshe was told, here are the 613, now go figure out how they're connected to the Torah. No. He was given it connected to the Torah. It's not an abstract series of laws, and here's the Torah. No. Here's the Torah, and here are the laws that the Torah teaches you. And probably also how you derive them from the Torah.
It can also be stated that both the written Torah as we have and the oral Torah with manifestations of the Torah that was created for creation. Therefore, I mean, if they have the same source, then it's milui that everything should be inside the text, even in theory.
Right, so that was the point of that point. Meaning, when I mentioned that those things could be derived, the idea was it's all there in the text. Even things that technically are on tradition, there's potential in the text for their derivation.
Right. So,
but I think that if we want to expand on this, other people aren't as interested as you and I. That's the impression I'm getting here.
Even the black straps are in there?
It would seem that way, yeah.
Yes.
Just one question. If everything can be derived from the written Torah, then why did Hashem have to give explicit?
Good question. Good question. Good question. For that, we have to learn the Netziv. Say that? It's a good question.
What's the whole point?